Thanks for listening to this edition of our podcast. I believe your faith will grow as a result of hearing God's Word today. I hope you'll take the time to subscribe and feel free to leave comments. Click on my Become a Fan link. Email your friends and help us get the word out. Point number one, if you can write it down, write it down. If you can't, just say aloud with me, sin, sickness, death, and disease came as a result of Adam's sin. Let's say it again. Sin, sickness, death, and disease came as a result of Adam's sin. I'm going to read to you a text of the Bible to prove to you that that is a fact. And it's Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because we live in a sin-cursed world, all mankind is subject to sin and sickness and death and disease. And that's because we live in a sin-cursed world. Now, Jesus, the disciples knew that. And so one day they saw a blind man in John chapter 9. And they said to Jesus, who sinned? Was it this man or was it his parents that caused him to be born blind? Well, Jesus said it wasn't this man's sin nor his parents' sin that caused him to be born blind. Was he saying that sin was not the cause of sickness and disease? No, he was just simply saying that it wasn't specifically his sin, and it wasn't specifically his parents' sin that caused him to be born blind. It was the result of the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world. But then Jesus went on to say, it's not about sin. This man's sickness is so that God could do his work in his life and bring glory to himself. Because the bottom line for God is that he gets glory. You can get God excited about anything that'll give him glory. And so God is excited about getting glory. Now, this is point number two. We're moving quickly tonight because we want to get you into the altar and we want to get you ministered to. Amen. Jesus is the author of life, not death. I heard so many people say, why did Jesus kill my little baby? Why did the Lord strike me with this arthritis? Why did God make me sick? Why did God do this to me? Jesus is not the author of sin, sickness, death, and disease. Satan is. And so let's turn to John chapter 10 and verse 10 and reinforce this from the scriptures. First of all, I forgot to have you say that point with me. If you're writing it down, write it down. If you're saying it out loud with me to reinforce this truth, I want you to say with me, Jesus is the author of life, not death. Say it with me one more time. Jesus is the author of life and not death. John 10:10 says this, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Let me tell you what a rotten so-and-so the devil is. He's so rotten that he goes around causing sin and sickness and death and disease and then convinces you somehow that God did it. Now that's a nasty, rotten devil, isn't it? That's like somebody doing something wrong and then pinning it on you. How would you feel if that was you? How would you feel if every time there was a person that went around impersonating you, doing terrible things to people, committing crimes and robberies and horrible deeds of injustice and cruelty and just all kinds of horrible things, and then said, you know who did that? That was Pat Chauncey what done that. How would you feel? You wouldn't like that very much. You wouldn't like that dude. Well, let me tell you something. That's what the devil is all about. He's about doing terrible things to people and then making them think somehow God did it. Look at Job. You remember the story. Satan said, let me take away everything that he has. And God, you can do it, but you can't kill him. You can't touch him. And so he wipes out everything that Job has. And even Job says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. You know, Job's theology wasn't right there. It was the Lord that gave, it was the devil that took away. And then the devil wasn't satisfied because Job still wouldn't curse God, because that's what the devil was looking for. He was wanting Job to curse God, and Job wouldn't do it. He maintained his integrity. Although he didn't maintain good theology, he did maintain his integrity. And Satan said, Let me touch his flesh. And he got boils all over his body and had to scrape him with a piece of broken pottery. And then his friends come around accusing him of doing some wrongdoing. And still, it's Job not understanding. Never once did he implicate, if you'll read it, you'll never see him once implicating the devil in this. He always looks and says, God, why is this happening to me? I'm a righteous man. And in the end, he understands, and I'm sure because Job is the author of the book of Job, that he's the one who finally understood that it was Satan the one that did all the attack. It was Satan that moved against Job. And so we understand that Satan is the author of sin, sickness, death, and disease, and not Jesus. So John 10:10 again, I am come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Now we're moving on quickly, I know. If I can't catch up, somebody say, slow down a little bit if we get going too fast. But this is point number 3 tonight. Well, I've usually not even started with introduction, but we're on point number 3. And it says this, the remedy for sin and sickness is the same. Say that with me. The remedy for sin and sickness is the same. Now that's a wonderful truth. Because how many of you believe that Jesus can forgive your sins and have absolutely no problem believing that he can, that he's the remedy for your sin? If he's the remedy for your sin problem, folks, he's the remedy for your sickness problem. And let me give you Bible for that. Let's say it together again. The remedy for sin and sickness is the same. I want you to open your Bible tonight to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. If you find Psalms, turn a little bit back to your right and you'll be in Isaiah. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53. It says in Isaiah 53, verse 4, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Interesting, the Hebrew Tanakh, which is the Bible that the rabbis used and that you would find if you went to a Jewish synagogue, is the same as our Bible, except that there is no New Testament in it. Now their Bible, the Tanakh, says it this way, surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Where we have the word grief and we have the word sorrow, that Bible, translated by rabbis from Hebrew who speak Hebrew, they translated the word sickness and pain. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Read together with me that fifth verse. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's awesome. That's awesome. It means to me that when Jesus went to the cross, he took care of our sin problem as well as our problem with sin, sickness, death, and disease, and demons, and poverty. All of the things that came upon mankind because Adam fell and sinned in the garden, all of those problems, Jesus did away with at the cross. The Bible says he was made a curse for us so that we would not bear the curse of sin. All right, so we understand that Jesus took the curse of sin, sickness, death, disease, demons, and fear and depression and poverty upon himself on the cross. All right, now let's look at our next scripture verse, Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3. And this one, if this one don't make you shout, it's because your shouter is broke and you need to take it in and have it looked at. If this one don't turn you on, your switch is just plumb fell off. This is an awesome verse of scripture. This is Psalm 103, verse 2 and verse 3. Read it with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. Remember the point we're trying to make, that the remedy for sin and the remedy for sickness is all one thing? Well, Jesus says that the benefits in the benefit package of our redemption is the forgiveness of all sin. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't leave any sin out? If he forgives all of our sin, wouldn't you hate it that he forgave all your sin but left you just one, and knowing that the wages of sin is death, and that one would be enough to send you to a devil's hell for eternity? If he left any sin unforgiven, we would be lost. And by the same word all, that he talks about all of our iniquities, he says all of our diseases. He says, who healeth all thy diseases. Somebody ought to get up on your feet and give God praise in this house. Come on, get up off of your feet. Stand up. There you go. We're a Pentecostal people. You know what? We just got too many white folks in here. I don't know. Y'all need to get excited about this thing. Amen. As if you put me to sleep, my mom, I'm too big for my mama to carry home. So you've got to keep me awake. Now, here is point number four. Are you ready for this? The truth of Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 is reinforced in the New Testament. Listen to me. Let's say it together. The truth of Isaiah. The truth of Isaiah. Help me. 53 verses 4 and 5 is reinforced in the New Testament. All right, now, that's important because a lot of Christians think that the Old Testament, you might as well just take your scissors and cut that part off your Bible and throw it away. A lot of people are under that impression that the Old Testament's no good anymore. So God went ahead and fixed that problem for you who think that the Old Testament's no good. He reinforces that truth in the New Testament. So turn to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to do a lot of Bible turning tonight. We're going to give you a lot of scripture. We're going to try to keep the time short, but we're not going to shortchange you on the word tonight. Why? You probably wonder, why do I ask you to lift your hands and shout and clap and get up out of your chair? Because you know what? I'm going to come down here and tell you this, because otherwise you won't believe me if I'm standing up here. I got to come down here where you are. You know, there's a story in the Bible about a paralyzed man, and he had four friends. And these four friends gathered their buddy up and they laid him in his stretcher and they tried to take him into the house where Jesus was preaching. He was preaching in a house. And they could not, the Bible says, they could not come nigh because of the press. That means that there was such a crowd that they couldn't get in. How did Jesus draw such a crowd? The Bible just simply says it was noised abroad that he was in the house. You know, I'll tell you something about Middle Creek Church of God. If this church had a reputation that Jesus was in the house, you'd be having to have a skylight put in here too. That's just a fact. Somebody ought to give God praise. I think more than four people ought to give him praise. Let me tell you about these four men. They tried the front door and they tried the back door. They tried the windows. Everywhere they went, there was such a crowd of people that they couldn't get in. And so they exhausted all natural means. There will be times in your life where you need a blessing from God, you need a touch from God, and you will exhaust every natural means that you can conceive of. And so they went beyond the normal and did something that was unthinkable. They climbed up on this man's roof and they tore the tile. They tore off the shingles and the tar paper and the wood, went right down through the roof. And the man ended up right there in front of Jesus. And here is a powerful phrase. I want you to listen to this. I want you to get this. It says, and when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw, wait a minute, faith is an intangible thing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith isn't visible. How could Jesus see their faith? Because of what they did. Their actions made faith visible. It was their actions. It was their climbing up on that roof, tearing off the shingles, and lowering their friend sick on his mat down through the roof and making him to land there in front of Jesus' feet, that took faith out of the invisible realm and brought it into the visible realm where he could see it. Jesus could see it. Anybody could see that. Their faith came out of the invisible realm and into the visible realm. And that's what I'm telling you. It's actions of faith that make faith visible. That's not one of my points. That's just free. And so that's why I tell you, get up. Clap your hands. Throw your hands up in the air like you just don't care. Go ahead and stomp your feet and make a little bit of noise in the house, because otherwise your faith is going to remain unseen. James talked about it, didn't he? Wasn't it the Apostle James said, go ahead, show me your faith without doing anything, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. I believe James was a pew-walking, Bible-thumping, run-around-the-church-house-a-few-times kind of a guy. He said, go ahead and show me your faith. Let me see it. What are you going to do? How are you going to show your faith unless you demonstrate it by what you do? And so you can't sit there like you got, I don't know, like you got lead britches on. You got to get up and do something for the Lord. Amen? Am I telling the truth? All right. So the truth of Isaiah 53 verse 4 and 5 is reinforced in the New Testament. Look at chapter 8 of Matthew. We're going to read the 16th and 17th verse together aloud. It says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Is Isaiah Isaiah? Sure it is. Isaiah is Isaiah. Saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That's Isaiah 53:4, right there in the New Testament. Isaiah 53:4 is right there in your New Testament. And it's translated, instead of sorrow and grief, it's translated as infirmity and sickness, just like the Hebrew Bible. Would you look at that? Matthew must have known how to read Hebrew, because he translated this verse the same way the rabbis do. All right, so you see that the truth is reinforced in the New Testament, and you realize that the promises of Isaiah 53 are not Old Testament promises. They're New Testament promises, and they apply to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, turn to 1 Peter. Now, this is just in case. I'm showing you this verse just in case you think, well, the Bibles, that was back in when Jesus was here on earth. That doesn't apply to us now, because that was for when Jesus was walking the earth. Well, let me tell you something about the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter was written long after Jesus died and rose again and ascended into heaven. It was written during the church age, which, by the way, is the age that we live in. We live during the church age. And so, just in case you might be tempted to think, well, that verse was Old Testament. I showed it to you in the Gospels. And then you think, well, that applied to the time before Jesus died and went back to heaven. No, it applies to our time. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. Are you there? Let's read together. Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Look, by whose stripes ye were healed. That's Isaiah 53:5, written in the New Testament. And after Jesus has already ascended into heaven. I'm telling you, Isaiah 53:4-5 is for you right here, right now, in this age, in this dispensation, and that ought to make you excited and give God a hand clap of praise in this house. I'm going to make y'all help me preach if you like it or not. All right.
Thanks again for listening. You can click on other links on this page to view my videos, hear original songs, read my blogs, and just keep in touch. I look forward to hearing from you soon. Until next time, this is Michael Chauncey saying, God bless. And I will praise you forevermore.